All right, cutting in for a mic check here. Can you hear me okay? Am I coming in loud enough for you? Let's check it out here. Let me know if it's coming in clear. Waiting for the reply. Now, Tracy, let's not talk about the match that Brother Ryan and I had yesterday. I will say that the match ended up a lot like the one that Garrett and I had a year ago. Chad Goins. Well, praise the Lord, Chad. I don't think I've ever seen you on here before, but I'm glad you listen. Good evening from Big Whale. Except it was faster, Kristen, with Ryan than it was with Garrett. Years old, and I still got some pep to me, which is good. So, that's funny. Anyway, let's see here. Good deal. Okay. All right. Well, we're waiting to get some people on here. I'll play some more music here for a few minutes, and then we'll get going here. Second. It's great. Let's see here. Actually, I like this song. Let's go with this one. All right, we'll play this song here.
Stay for long up there. It seems
let's see. See if I can find it. I like this one. We'll go with this one. Let's see. Whatever I did with it, I had it. There it is. Anyway, I lost it. Must have hit something. Let's see here. That one. There we go. We'll play this one, then we'll be done. Then we'll get started.
Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more. Complete in thee, yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete indeed, O mortal sin, thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assemble are, among the chosen I shall be at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Yea, justified, O blessed God, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too.
Amen. That is a good song, and it is doctrinally sound. So, Abigail Miller, you should check her music out. I think you can order it on iTunes and all that kind of thing. I don't make any money on it. I'm just saying that, you know, these people need support. They don't make money on their music, really. They just kind of survive and put music out for people and use their talents and gifts for the Lord. So, you know, I think her music is really, really moving and really good. And there are times in your Christian life when you will need to hear songs like this. There are other times in your Christian life to where, you know, I used to be like, I don't really like a lot of those kind of songs that much, and I didn't listen to them hardly ever or anything like that. But when life happened, when trials and tribulations happened, when heartache happened, and, you know, anxieties and depressions and things like that, it brings you to a place to where God uses this specific type of music to be an encouragement to you and to help you in your Christian life, to minister to you. So just remember that there's, you know, your tastes will change for, I'm not talking about CCM and rock and roll music. What I mean, different types of gospel music, some softer, some more upbeat and things like that. But the, you know, your tastes will change according to where you are in life at that time, is that music ministers you, as God uses that music to minister to you. So file that away in that place where you think you won't ever use, because you probably will someday. I say this by experience that you will. Thomas Havis, hope you're doing well today. Thomas came for a visit here a few weeks ago, and we enjoyed his company. A blessing for him to come visit us, and we got to spend some time with him. He went out preaching with us, and handed out with us as we handed out thousands of tracts a couple weeks ago. So praise the Lord for that, and we thank God for that. But let's see, Wayne C. says hi. Well, hope you're doing good, Wayne. And somebody mentioned Gene Kim's. Check out Dr. Gene Kim. Well, Dr. Gene Kim is a Ruckmanite, and I'm not saying that he doesn't teach anything good. I'm just telling you that he's a Ruckmanite. And so be careful about that hyperdispensationalism doctrine that he teaches, because that's exactly what he does teach. Anyway, so I saw that comment on there, and I'll tell you that I know that the man has Ruckmanite leanings, and he's a hyper-dispensationalist. So someday we'll get into all those fun topics. Let's see. Who else is on here? U-T-A-H, Utar, 1. Hello. Good afternoon, Susie. Hope you're doing well. Joe McDonald. Danielle, Cindy, let's see, happy birthday, Carl, you're getting to be an old man. I don't know how old you are, but I know you're younger than me. Let's see, Alan Peterson, what is a Ruckmanite? Someone who follows Peter Ruckman's teachings. And someone who follows hyperdispensationalism, although they would argue with me about that distinction, that accusation, so to speak, but I believe it's backed up very, very, very thoroughly, and with many sources as to what his teachings are. He believes in all kinds of different gospels and all that kind of stuff. So I'd be careful about that. Be careful about those people. Carl turns 32. Well, you're 11 years younger than me. Well, Nick, you're commenting with this account. I don't know about the other one. Google Peter Sturgis Ruckman. Yeah. Peter Ruckman was a genius, really. But a hyper-dispensational Independent Fundamental Baptist. Wrote a lot of books. I have a lot of them. Big library, big reader, and so he followed Bullinger and Larkin and all those guys. What are your thoughts on Paul Washer? I think Paul Washer is a good preacher in a lot of ways, and he preaches a sound gospel message, but he needs to use the King James Bible. That's what I think about Paul Washer. But I think he's a good man. I think he's wrong about that topic, about the Bible issue. I think he's very wrong about it. All right. Anyway, So we had a good weekend, and thank you for all the birthday wishes that everybody gave here over the weekend. I did have a blessed weekend and kept busy and went out with my family on Saturday and Sunday. We had a good time in church yesterday and preached yesterday on laying aside the sin that does so easily beset you. And how to lay aside those sins that does so easily beset you. And put those are both on YouTube, part one and part two. I split those up because they were looking kind of long. I didn't realize they were that long, but they were. So we split those up but both parts are on YouTube, so you can. Yeah, he's a Calvinist, but there's worse things than a Calvinist, I can tell you that. A work salvation holiness Arminian is a way worse thing than a Calvinist any day. One of those sinless perfection holiness Pentecostals are way worse than Calvinist any day. But anyway. There are worse sects of Calvinism out there, obviously. The antinomians and all kinds of others, but anyway, are there other more modern English Bibles that are good? No, they're not. They're all based on the Westcott and Hort text, and they're all corrupt. They're corrected with Westcott and Hort text, and they're corrupt versions of the Bible, and should be avoided. But you can see my sermon series on that. I know that I grew up reading the King James Bible when I was a little boy, so I was 5 years old reading the Bible, so it didn't intimidate me, but yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, Joe Schimmel, that guy, he's kind of rabid. I was 5 years old when I learned on the King James Bible. I learned to read it. All my kids have learned to read it. The ones that can read, they read it, and they're little kids. So there's... You teach them to read the Bible one word by one word. My daughter is 11 years old, and she's been reading it for a few years now, since she was 7 or 8. She's been reading the King James Bible, and my son's been reading it for that long. So my dad couldn't read, and he was illiterate, and he learned to read by reading the King James Bible, it's not hard. Not at all. Not even the least bit. When it comes to that, it's all learning, but it's not hard. It's not hard at all. But anyway. Yep. All right, well, so anyway, I'm leaning towards doing another broadcast tomorrow and Wednesday, but we'll see how it goes. We're going to leave early Thursday morning. We'll be leaving early Thursday morning for vacation, so taking off then. I'll do a broadcast tomorrow or the next. It just depends. I only really have one more sermon to prepare, or one message to prepare for Wednesday night this week, and then I'm kind of off for a week. Well, I'm kind of off for almost 10, 11 days, so, you know, which I might do something on the way back, type it on my computer on the way home or something, but which will be fine. But Anyway, so I might just come on tomorrow and come on the next day. What are your thoughts about Revelation 4, where there are people out of every kindred at the throne? Well, I've never thought about that. I'd have to look at that text to see what exactly you mean by that. Let's see. Freddie, my son is 10. He reads the KJV, no problem. Yeah, amen. There's no problem. Just got to teach. So I'll probably do Tuesday and Wednesday. It keeps me busy. It keeps my mind busy and focused. If not, it doesn't do well. So it's better for me to keep busy and keep going and keep doing stuff. But interesting topic today that we're going to talk. I thought I'd change it up a little bit. I was kind of trying to figure out what in the world am I going to talk about today. Not that I don't have enough to talk about, but I just thought, you know, I don't want to talk about Kanye West and how 1,000 people made a profession of faith at his, or raised their hand at a meeting at his last Sunday service meeting. By the way. Sorry, that was a flashback. Only Jacob will know what I mean by that, if he's listening. I thought you were taking 2 weeks off. I am. I'm leaving Thursday. Let's see here. I know I wasn't planning on talking about Kanye, but I do have to show you this because it bothers me. Did you hear about Pastor Vody Bakum, Baptist pastor? No, I didn't. What about him? Oh, Jim Wilford, you know what I mean. Oh, by the way. Jim. Oh, by the way. Jim, I didn't know you were listening. Oh, that's hilarious, man. That's funny. Oh, man. Oh, no. Where do I want to go with that? Nope, not there. I want to go there. Hang on a second. I want to show you something that bothers me. Hear my thoughts about what? Did you hear about Pastor... I think Vody Bakum is a really good man, by the way. I think he's a really good man. I like him a lot, actually. Again... I'm not going to be in 1,000% agreement with anybody like that, but yeah. Can I show you this? Hey, who knows how to make the image bigger? I'm used to a Mac. How do I blow this up? Sorry. Do you see this right here? Think about this. Could somebody tell me what is your first impression when you see this? That didn't work. Yeah, the circle. What do you think about this? Does anybody think this is weird that this is Kanye West's last concert where 1,000 people stood up and they're all wearing, all these people wearing the same clothes, and Kanye West stood up, or a bunch of people, 1,000 people raised their hands to get saved? I did right click it. It doesn't get any bigger. Does anybody think that's weird? That they're all in a circle? Does anybody think that's weird at all? Because I think it's strange. Maybe it's this one. Nope, it's not that one. I don't know. It's just, it's really strange to me that here we have these guys in their worship team, and they're all gathered around in a circle, and everybody's watching. It's just weird. And the chanting that goes on, when you listen to the chanting, I don't know what it is, but it just bothers me so stinking much that I cannot get it out of my mind when I see that. It bothers me so much when I see those people, when I see Kanye and everything that he's doing, it bothers me a lot. I don't know why, I can't shake it. I think that more is coming. I think that bad things are coming with this whole thing. I think more deception is coming. You know, I think that whoa, thanks. Authorized Mike is the only smart guy in the room. Look at this. It bothers me. Okay. I wasn't even, come on, I can't, I don't have time to talk about Kanye. I gotta quit talking about him. Oh, there's my Google Calendar. I got something planned. Not really. All right, let's see. All right, I can't help it. Okay, all right, so. This is the latest one right here, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to stay on this. I'm going to get to my post-trip proofs. I'm not staying on this. I can't believe it's already almost been 35 minutes since I've been on here. I gotta hurry up. But listen, I can't take it. Look, listen to this. Hey, I gotta find this part. Hold on.
What happens when a weekend camping trip?
This is it. You shoot the ball.
They keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Thank you. Cousin Kim over here, I think about she would be living in Florida.
That God is.
All right, does anybody think this is weird? Like, here's this moon, right? here's this moon. What is this about? Wait, so you're in a circle, and you're standing before the moon. I'm sorry, am I the only one that the creep meter goes off and I'm like, there's stinking no way this guy is real? Right? I mean, am I the only guy that thinks this is like extremely spooky and weird? Look. So, even the strippers, Jesus walks with them. Okay, anyway, all right, so I don't know, it bothers me, okay, and I can't shake it, I can't shake the fact that there is something extremely weird about this, and it just doesn't make any sense, except that it's like straight up Antichrist. This is Kanye West's concert. This is his Sunday service experience. And in this Sunday service experience, all these people, I guess 1,000 people came forward and said that they trusted Christ. He plays his Jesus Walk song. I mean, it's Halloween stuff. By the way, here's the other thing that's weird. Here was their costume for Halloween. Look at this. This was their costume for Halloween. That's the Lord of the Flies, right? He's dressed as the... He's dressed as Lord of the Flies. He's... So, anyway, does anybody else think that's, like, super weird? Or is it just me that's like, man, there must be something wrong with me. I must be the biggest jerk in the world because I'm just can't, like, just think this is Antichrist to the core. Anyway, so, something for you to think about, right? Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The whole thing seems kind of goofy. Not goofy, satanic. It seems like wicked. And then his children get upstage, right? Somewhere in the middle of this, somewhere, let me see. He brings his kids on stage. Some weird stuff, man. I don't know exactly where that is. But I saw it somewhere that like his kids were on stuff. And here they are going nuts. I don't know. All I know is it's some weird stuff, man. What's a click? What's a click? I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what a click is. Anyway, so let's get to the Bible here and get to what we're going to talk about today, which is the post-trib proofs, the sun, the moon, the stars. I want to talk about the signs in the sky, the signs of his coming, the signs of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And we're going to get to that here. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. We're going to go through the scriptures and I'm going to show you some things about what the Bible says concerning the signs of the Lord's coming. And what the scriptures teach about that. And I think it's important as we look at the scriptures to see what the Lord has made very plain to us. Today, in today's day and age, here's what we have. Let me try to kind of rein you in a little bit and get you to think about some things here. In today's day and age, people, I'm going to move this over just a little bit here. In today's day and age, people, they don't want to accept. They don't want to accept plain Bible teaching. But what they would rather do, what they would rather do is look for, you know, look into parables or look into this or look into that. Now, there's nothing wrong with parables. That's the Bible. Okay, but the problem is that God has made it very plain for us to understand when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. God's made it very simple. And you and I ought to pay attention to that. We ought to look for that. Look for what he says. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 13. All over the Old and the New Testament, all over the Old and New Testament. There are scriptures that show us the signs of Christ's coming. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6 through 11. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every heart, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Look at this now. This is what I want you to focus on, because you're going to see this all the way through. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. God says later on this verse, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. There's going to be a sign first that comes. The sign first are the sun, the moon, and the stars to show us something, to teach us something. So Isaiah chapter 13, we see that very plainly. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 24. In Isaiah chapter 24, you're going to see some more signs. Verse number 21 to 23. Look at that. Verse 20. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. And the kings of the earth, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in prison. After many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun shall, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. So, again, what do we see? We see the sun and the moon. We see a confounding and a shame. What does that mean? A darkness. A darkness. Ezekiel chapter 32. A lot of Bible today. Ezekiel chapter 32, verse number 7. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. I'm in Isaiah, I'm sorry. That's something else. What in the world, where was I going? Ezekiel 32. Wrong scripture. Ezekiel 32, verse number 7 and 8. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. And I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people, when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast known, hast not known. Ezekiel chapter 32, Joel chapter 2. We're going to get to the New Testament. A lot of your questions are going to be answered. Joel chapter 2. I'm showing you a pattern in the scriptures of when this time is going to come. And then I'm going to show you what the New Testament says about that. Joel chapter 2, verse 1 through, well, all the way to 10. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. Look. The sun The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide? Who can abide it? A pattern, signs in the sky. There's a pattern there, over and over again, in the scriptures. There's a pattern of the sun being darkened, the moon not giving her light, and the stars that shall fall from heaven. How about Joel chapter 3? Joel chapter 3. And verse number 14:15. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Well, Steve, I will tell you this. If you don't have a Bible verse, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about post-trib, and I'm talking about, and I haven't even got to it yet. But by the way, show me a secret rapture. Show me one in Revelation chapter 4 that says that that's the people of God that says, come up hither. Show me something before the sun shall not, the moon shall be darkened, the sun shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Show it to me. I'm waiting to see it. Show it to me. I want to see it. I've been waiting. Man, have I been waiting. And I used to hold to that. Come up hither thing. But there ain't a bit of evidence for it in the scriptures anywhere. The sun is darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Why don't you wait till I get to Matthew chapter 24? Anyway, Joel chapter 3, verse number 14 and 15. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Yeah, I know they do. They say that the rapture is some secret thing that's going to happen. Joel chapter 3, Amos chapter 8. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. Of course the pre-trib rapture isn't the same thing as the second advent, because there is no pre-trib rapture. It's not there. It's nowhere there. Nowhere. Like, nowhere. It's a figment of someone's imagination because it's not there. It isn't there. All right. Matthew chapter 24. Some people differentiate the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 30. Okay, here we go. All right, you ready? Okay, let's read this. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When does he come? There's not three comings. There's two. The Bible doesn't say there's three comings of Christ. The Bible says he comes in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And that Jesus would return the same way he left. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It says after the tribulation of those days, that's when he comes. I don't care what they say. They could say that they could say monkeys are going to fly out of their ears, but that doesn't make it true. Matthew chapter 24 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Let's see, Matthew 24. Let's see. Mark 13. Like I said, post-trib. It all happens post-trib. Doesn't happen pre-trib. There is no examples of it anywhere. Matthew 13, 24, and 25. But in those days, Mark 13. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened. By the way, look at this. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Well, that means you're going to be here. You see that? It means you're going to be here. If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. So how do you get around that when the Bible says that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived? For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Well, I don't need to take heed for that, because there's not going to be any elect there. Well, why did he tell you that it were possible, even if it were possible, even the elect? Because the deception is going to come around the whole world. And what is that time? And what is that time of deception? What is that time of deception? The time of deception is in 2 Thessalonians, when the whole world is deceived. Exactly, Susie. No, maybe it'd be possible because we're not going to be here. Oh, so he told you for no reason? Well, if you were here, I'm going to tell you this, that if you were here, you'd be deceived, but you're not going to be here, so it won't matter. Why even tell you? Why even warn you if you're not going to be there? Why warn you that you could be deceived? Why warn the deception is there if it's not really there? It's foolish. It's nonsense. Of course you're there. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great power and glory. There you go. Right there, look what he says. You're going to see the Son of Man coming in clouds in great glory. Now, why does that matter? Well, here's why it matters. Because the clouds are a sign of his coming. That's why it matters. The clouds are a sign of his coming. What does it say? And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. There's the clouds. How's he come? In the clouds. What did John say? In the Revelation, what did he say? Let's find the verse here. Here it is. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests and God, unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. So, there isn't any clear teaching, as far as I'm concerned, that says anything any different. That when he comes in the clouds. It's amazing to me that people are like, well, where are you going to put this and where do you put that? I don't need to put it anywhere. I just need to deal with what the text says. This is what is frustrating about pre-trib people. Well, what about this and what about that and what about this? No, what about what it says? How about what it says? How about what the Bible exactly says? That Christ is going to return in the clouds. And he told his church when he was leaving, he told them, I'm going to come in the same way that I left. That's what he said. That's what he said. Two witnesses came and two witnesses said, I'm coming back in the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. And John, what does John say? John says, behold, he's speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does he say? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto him, unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. If you deal with what it's... Jim, I know. Jim, they've got to have it on a chart. It's got to be drawn. I'm not an artist. I can't draw you a picture, but I can read plain scripture what it says. The clouds. Let's see. Luke chapter 21. Verse number 27. Well, here you go. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming to the earth, coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And the sun shall be turned. What does Acts 2:20 say? And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. All of you guys are asking questions on here. All you pre-trib people are asking questions on here. Okay, I got one for you. Where's your pre-trib verse? Where is it? Where's your pre-trib verses at? Where are your pre-trib verses? Where are they? Where are your verses that tell me that the rapture is pre-trib specifically? Where are they? I'm waiting. I'll wait. Listen, I'll sit here and wait for you. I'll wait for you to give them. Thank you. All right, I gave you long enough, and nobody's coming up with any. I'm waiting to see any, and I haven't seen any. Nobody's posted any yet. Right, MC. So I don't know why you're even here, then. If you have a problem with what I teach, why don't you just go away? Why don't you go bug somebody else? Atheism is madness. That's not an answer to the question. That's not an answer to the question at all. Right. So, bye-bye, flat earthers. I realize that you flat earth people, I understand that you're kind of spiritually handicapped and you can't keep with one thought long enough. I understand that because you're more than likely, many of you are possessed with devils, and the only thing that you can talk about is the flat earth. It's all that you can talk about is the flat earth because you have devils in you. And it's you can't stop talking about it. Of course, we always have to come back to the flat earth because they have devils in them. I am beginning to think that they are possessed with devils. I almost want to do a video and talk about the fact that I believe flat earth people, for the most part, a great majority of them are possessed by a spirit, and it's not the scriptures. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. There's no problem with that. What's the problem with that? I believe that. What's the problem with it? Again, I want your Bible verses that tell me that there's a pre-tribulation rapture, and at what point that pre-tribulation rapture takes place. Revelation 2:18. Are you saying the verse? Or are you saying Revelation 2 through 18? I'm not sure what your point is. Right, he's just being facetious is all he's doing. He can't prove his point. He can't prove his point, so he's gotta say, read Revelation 2 to 18. It's like, go read the parables, go read this, go do that, go do this, not just plain scripture. And it can't be true because of this, and because of this, and because of this, but not what it actually says. No, you didn't give me any scripture. Not that I saw. Where was it? I didn't see any that you gave. Matthew 24:20. That's your reason for a pre-trib? That says nothing about a pre-trib rapture. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. What? How does that remotely have anything to do with the rapture? But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. That has nothing to do with a pre-tribulation rapture. That's talking about the destruction of the temple before the temple was destroyed. That's talking about the destruction of the temple. Some of that was fulfilled already in the destruction of the temple. Over 1 million people were slaughtered in Israel, in Jerusalem, when the temple was, and they flew and they fled, and it's recorded historically that not one Christian was destroyed in all that, because they took heed to the warning. All I did was give you the Bible verses that deal with that. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 6. I think it's 6. Make sure my notes aren't wrong here. Or look at my notes, I mean. Here's the sixth seal. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heavens depart as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What happened? At the sixth seal is when the earthquake, when the sun becomes black, and the moon becomes dark, and the stars and the moon becomes as blood, and the stars of heaven fall on the earth. That's the same time frame. So are you saying atheism is madness? Are you saying that all the rest of them, are you saying that that church is a time period? How can Jesus Christ cast the church into great tribulation if the whole church is still here for it? Well, that's not about a whole church. That's about one church. There's no proof that that's a prophecy that those churches represent church ages. Where does it say in the Bible that each one of those churches are church ages? It says that those seven churches were around at that time, and we have those type of seven churches right now. There isn't anything that says that those seven churches are church ages. Where in the Bible does that say that? Doesn't say it anywhere. It doesn't say that they're church ages. It doesn't say that anywhere. Where is the proof at that those are church ages? Those were all messages that were delivered to churches. No, he's speaking to seven different churches, not the church. Where do you see the church in Revelation chapter 2? Where do you see that at? Where do you see that? Where does it say the church? It says the church of a certain place. It doesn't say a church age or the whole church. It doesn't say that anywhere. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things. It's seven different churches, not the church. See what I mean? If you read it for what it says, that's what it says. But people don't want to read it for what it says. They want it to say something else. But that's not what it says. And this topic is very contentious with people. I understand that. And I hate it. I hate the fact that it has to be that way. That we have to worry so that people are so concerned about that timing in that way but they never have a verse that tells you. I can show you what the Bible says. Let's see. 2 Thessalonians. 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth. What happened? What has happened first? For that day shall not come. That day shall not come. Again, atheism is madness. Where is your Bible verse that shows that's when he's coming? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. The problem is people don't want to deal with what it says. They want to deal with what it doesn't say. That's what happens. That's why the topic becomes so incredibly contentious, because they want to deal with what it doesn't say. Says it very clearly here. The day of Christ. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So the falling away must take place first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I don't have all the answers, and I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't claim to have it all figured out. I just know one thing, that it's not going to happen before that sixth seal. Because that's when the sun is darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And then shall you see the sign of the Son of Man coming. No, I don't have to show you anything. Atheism is madness. You show me your Bible verses for a pre-tribulation rapture, or else you have zero credibility and you should shut your mouth and you should stop typing, because you have zero credibility, because you won't do it. You keep throwing up all these other scenarios, but you won't say anything. And it looks like you're not gonna. So that's just the way it is. But when you see this, these are the signs of the Son of Man coming. It's like saying that's like saying that God never gave the martyrs any comfort or consolation, because they all died. They all had their head chopped off by Antichrist popes. They had their bodies torn asunder. They had themselves destroyed constantly. Right? There's been millions of martyrs that have died for the faith. Did God abandon them? Did God abandon them? Okay, Tim, I'll look at your verses. John 14. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. And how does he go? How does he go? Or how does he come back? The Bible says he comes in the clouds. That's how he returns, is in the clouds. That's what it says. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, look at that, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I agree. I absolutely agree with everything. And behold, he cometh in the clouds. And that's when he comes. And the sign of his coming is him coming in the clouds. And when does that take place? The Bible's very clear of when that takes place. Look and see what the Bible says about his coming in the clouds. Very clear. Very plain. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened except to die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear the grain. It may chance wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth the body. Okay, so you're talking about the resurrection body. Yeah, that's talking about the resurrection. So, I mean, I don't have any problem with that. Let's see. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things in himself. I agree. Absolutely. First Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Yeah, I got no problem with that. I didn't say we were going to go through the wrath. Not at all. Let's see. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunk in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and help, and love and for a helmet with the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together. Now, tribulation is not wrath. So if you think tribulation is wrath, it's not. Tribulation is different than wrath. It's not the same thing. All believers go through tribulation. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The church has not always been kept from tribulation. That is a lie. If someone told you that the church was kept from tribulation, they lied to you. They absolutely 100%. You tell my Waldensian forefathers, you tell the Donatists, you tell the Petrobrusians, you tell the Novatius, you tell all of these groups of of Baptist people that suffered and were murdered, and the millions upon millions upon millions that were murdered for the faith. You tell them that they were kept from tribulation. Do you know how many people, how many born again believers lost their lives in the dark ages? How many of them were slaughtered and wholesale murdered, and their babies thrown off of cliffs, thrown off of mountains, the babies' heads crushed, their skulls crushed on the ground? How many people, how many of those people, were thrown off of the top of cliffs, and how many were burned alive, and they were decapitated, and their heads were on poles as they were lined up on the Roman Empire, and you tell them that they were kept from tribulation? No way. All of that, there are millions upon millions that Rome killed, that they were slaughtered in the Dark Ages. Slaughtered for the faith. We just live in this American experiment, this bubble, where we're protected right now. We haven't went through that persecution because of the First Amendment and because of some Baptists that God used to come over here and to help with the First Amendment. If it wasn't for that, you'd be slaughtered just like the same way. You'd be slaughtered the same exact way. And that's right, Amy. What about those over in China and Iran and all over the world that are being slaughtered? Tell them, oh, your blessed hope is that you're not going to go through a tribulation. Well, then I must not be saved because all my family got murdered. See what I mean? That's nonsense. I mean, you have to think about what the implications of what you believe there. That, well, we're not going to go through a tribulation. Yes, we are. We're going to go through a lot, and some of us go through more than others right now. No church has been, no people have been kept from tribulation. Wrath, yes. But let me ask you a question, and I'm not going to go through all this today, but let me ask you a question. Because I don't have all the answers. I have to brush up and study more on a lot of this. I'll be honest with you. Because I really don't touch it that much. I kind of leave it alone. But let me ask you a question. When all the... I hear people say this, okay? They say, well, how is it... If the church was here... If born-again believers were here, then how is God going to protect them? Right? How is God going to protect them? Well, let me ask you a question. How did God protect the believers in Egypt when he poured down and rained down all the plagues on Egypt, and his wrath was poured out on Pharaoh, and his wrath was poured out upon Egypt? How did God cover them and keep them through all of it? And by the way, the ark is not a picture of being saved from tribulation. It is God's protection through tribulation. When all the world is being destroyed, God keeps his saints. Why can't he not do it through that? That's right, Susie. God says, be faithful even unto death. So he didn't say that you're not going to get killed. You're not going to suffer. Really? That sounds like Kanye's gospel. The gospel that, well, you're going to get $68 million, man. Your life's going to be great. Yeah, he is given power over the saints to kill them. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's given power over the saints to kill them. I believe the 144,000 are going to be saved Jews. That's what I believe they're going to be. And the rest of them are going to be slaughtered. And that's how all Israel is going to be saved, by the gospel. That's what I believe. I think if you look at what God did to his people in Israel, or in Egypt, how he protected them, why can't he not do the same thing here? He let them go through some tribulation, but when he poured out his wrath and he started killing everybody, hey, Jared, if you have flat earthers, if you have flat earthers come on your YouTube channel and spam you when you're talking about a pre-tribulation, post-tribulation rapture topic, I think you'd get the point. It's ridiculous. They're just waiting for the next deception for them to fall for before they fall away into more heresy and nonsense. Because that's exactly what it is, a bunch of nonsense. Anyway, there's a lot that can go either way. What do you think about MacArthur's view that a Christian could take the mark of the beast? I think MacArthur's wrong, and I think it's heresy to say that you could take the mark of the beast. I think it's absolute heresy to say that. No, no one ever gave the verse where everybody dies in the tribulation, Mike. They just make these outlandish claims, and then they don't usually back them up with anything, unfortunately. Well, what does NASA have to do with the post-trib rapture, Jason Stockman? What does NASA have to do with a post-trib rapture? Like, what does he have to do with that? All it is an absolute distraction. It's vain jangling, is what it is. Yep. There is no other gospel but the one that is in the scriptures, the one that Paul preached, the one that Jesus preached, said, repent ye therefore, the one that Peter preached. It's the same gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. All the same thing. And I know it might seem that I'm being snarky about it, but it's just that people have a problem with this topic so much that they just lose it over it. And you ask them for, where does it say it's pre-trib? Where does the scriptures completely say that? I would just like the verses that say very plainly that that there's a rapture that takes place before the tribulation. Can you give me those verses? You guys keep having other arguments, but I'm just asking you for the verses that completely say that this is a pre-tribulation rapture and this is where it happens. But it doesn't appear there are any verses that state that. I mean, that's what I found. Once I started examining it, it just wasn't there. But I don't really care if we went to the moon. Jason Stockman, I don't care if we went to the moon. I don't care if NASA is lying to me about going to the moon. Why does it matter? No one's going to go to hell if they believe that somebody went to the moon. And no one is going to die and go to hell by believing that the earth is a circle. Well, maybe they should think about more important things like the gospel, like what the Word of God says, like what is plainly taught about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, about the gospel, about all those things. Maybe all those things are more important than the shape of the earth. Anyway, I don't believe there's any Bible for it, and that's why I don't agree with it. I used to hold to it, but it doesn't the pre-tribulation rapture, but there isn't anything that talks about it. So I've given people ample time to try to figure that out or to try to give me some sort of information of where it says that at. Is it Revelation 4:1? Is that what you hinge it on? After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Is that it? What made me change my mind is that there is absolutely no Bible verses at all. Is that there are no Bible verses at all that speak of a pre-tribulation rapture except so what you're saying is Jesus is awesome. What you're saying to me is that you have one Bible verse that nails it down for you, that nails a pre-tribulation rapture. You have one Bible verse. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the good man of the house had known in what... Okay, so you're taking basically... Which, by the way, this says immediately after the tribulation of those days. And then he goes into that. You do realize that, right? So you do realize that that says after the tribulation of those days. It says after the tribulation of those days. So how do you take that when it says after the tribulation, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and then pulls that verse up? That's still after the tribulation. How is that before? Where do you get a pre-trib after the tribulation of those days? Who said God did pour his wrath out on his own body? I never said that. No. Wrong question, and I won't entertain it. Jesus is awesome. Why are you ignoring what it says right here? I will not respect your question when you flat out ignore the fact. You concede the point that it says immediately after the tribulation of those days, or I will not respond to you any longer about this topic. Because you're ignoring immediately after the tribulation of those days. You're just ignoring it like it's not there. How do you do that? Aaron, is it me, or are they just ignoring exactly what that says? It says immediately after the tribulation of those days. How do you ignore that? No, I don't care if you're post-trib. I'm not trying to, like, force somebody to be something here. My point is, look what it says. You're ignoring the entire context. It says immediately after the tribulation of those days. And then you go to that. Thank you, Just a Messenger for Jesus. Thank you. So I'm not going insane. So I am actually reading what the words actually say. Right. Your question is irrelevant because you do not accept. Your premise is wrong. No, Matthew is not written to the Jews. It's written to everyone. And when he took his disciples apart here, who are his disciples? Who are the apostles? Who are the apostles? They are what? They are the foundation, right? That's what, Jesus Christ and the apostles, the foundation of the church. Yes. You are ignoring the fact that it says immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Then you're like, well, what about this right here? Who are these people? They're the ones that are told to watch after the tribulation of those days. They're those ones. That's who they are. Verse 29 says, after the tribulation of those days. Okay, I'm done. I've said it like 400 times and it just sounds ridiculous. That's right, Ross. That's absolutely right. That there is no way to tell that. Okay, I'm going to get out of here. I've been on here for about 2 hours. I'm going to just put this one to rest because this topic literally drives me nuts. To talk about, because people seem to like to ignore what's plainly there. And there's just kind of no way to deal with that, really. You just have to. And, you know, anyway, so that's just the way it goes. I don't want to continue talking about it because it just doesn't do any good. After that, after you show the evidence, you just got to let it go. Let's see. I will continue watching for Jesus Christ's command and not the... Well, you watch who for... You... That's fine. Atheism is madness. You do what you believe the Lord is leading you to do. And I'm gonna read what the Bible says right here. That the moon... That it says right here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. When is the gathering unto him? What does it say here? And by our gathering together unto him. It says in our gathering together unto him that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word. I mean, it says it right there. Well, we'll talk about the topic again. It'll come up again. No, that's okay. Jesus is awesome. It's fine. I'm not worried about it. I'm not upset at anybody. It's frustrating when you say the same thing like four times and the verses are right there, or five times, and then it's like... Yep. Hey, you know what? If you believe there's a pre-tribulation rapture and you're waiting for it, that's fine by me. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm just telling you, though, when deception comes, though, just be ready for deception. Because if the Antichrist does show up on the scene, or when he does, if we're still alive, the deception will be strong. But if you have the Holy Ghost, and you're saved by the grace of God, you'll get through it. You'll get through it all. God will preserve you through it. I mean, I've always asked people for those verses. Because I can give you this verse that says that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I've got that. I'm not offended. I'm not offended. At all, I'm not offended. Not in the least bit. I'm not offended. It's just when you see it right there plain as day, and then people ignore it. But anyway, hopefully, whatever it is, I won't spend a lot of time on it because it just doesn't go anywhere but south really quick for the most part. That's what happens. And I've heard people say, I'm not waiting for the Antichrist, I'm waiting for Christ. Well, if you're gathering unto him is before this, he says this. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Anyway, all right, I'm out of here. Have a good day.